For the past few weeks, it's been wonderful to broadcast elements of worship from our homes into your home, including many of the elements of today's service, and it appears for a few weeks to come at least. But I thought for this part of the service, it might be important to invite us back into this space, into the sanctuary here at First Presbyterian Church. That here in this place, on this day, we might find something meaningful. To be clear, we didn't want to invite anyone else to be out of their homes, and so it's just Miriam and me here with our iPhones today. But as I invite you into this space with us, let us hear again the Easter story, this year as it comes to us from the Gospel according to Luke. But on the first day of the week, at early dawn, they came to the tomb, taking the spices that they had prepared. They found the stone rolled away from the tomb, but when they went in, they did not find the body. While they were perplexed about this, suddenly two men in dazzling clothes stood beside them. The women were terrified and bowed their faces to the ground. But the men said to them, "Why do you look for the living among the dead? He is not here, but has risen. Remember how he said to you while he was still in Galilee, 'The Son of Man must be handed over to sinners and be crucified, and on the third day rise again.' Then they remembered his words, and returning from the tomb, they told all this to the 11 and to all the rest. Now, it was Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Mary the mother of James, and the other women with them who told all this to the apostles. But these words seemed to them an idle tale, and they did not believe them. But Peter got up and ran to the tomb, stooping and looking inside. He saw the linen cloths by themselves, and he went home, amazed at what had happened." Friends, this is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. Good and gracious God, may the words of my mouth, the meditations of all of our hearts, be pleasing and acceptable to you, O Lord, for you alone are our rock and our redeemer. Let all God's people say, Amen. To be honest, this Easter is disappointing. This is not the service we had planned. This is not the sermon I had planned for today. No, we had planned to gather with bells and brass, with a choir overflowing the loft in beautiful red robes, with flowers, lilies, hydrangeas, and daffodils, and of course, with all of you gathered here in your Easter Sunday best, jackets and ties, beautiful new dresses, children adorably dressed in clothes that they cannot wait to change out of when they get home. And we look forward to the day when we will do that again, but not this year. This year, the sanctuary is empty. It's empty. And in a way, we're reminded this year that its emptiness is itself a witness of the love that we have in Jesus Christ for one another, the faithfulness of our following the command to love neighbor as ourselves. Because this sanctuary is empty, it means we are in our homes. And by doing so, we are loving our neighbors who are healthcare workers, that we might flatten the curve and provide the capacity for them to provide care for the patients they have and not to be overloaded. We are expressing love of neighbor for the scientists who are rushing to create a cure, a vaccine for this virus. We are expressing our love for neighbor, especially our most vulnerable and high-risk neighbors, so that they are not exposed to the virus. Yes, in a way, the emptiness of this space is in fact a testimony of our faith. And in another way, this empty place today provides for us perhaps a way to most authentically experience Easter. After all, on that first day of the week at early dawn, the women did not go and encounter cheering crowds or hallelujah choruses. They did not encounter blaring trumpets. Instead, they very quietly made their way to a place where the stone had been rolled away, and they found that the tomb was empty. It was in that emptiness, that empty space, that they first began to understand a glimmer of the gospel message, of the good news, of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. It was there that they heard the words again, that he would be handed over to sinners and crucified and rise on the third day. It was there that they began to understand what he meant when he was in Galilee and he had said to them that death could not hold him, that he would rise again to new life. And so in whatever way they had begun to understand that good news, they took that message from the empty tomb back to the disciples, the 11 and the others with them, back to the home in which they had found themselves and shared that good news with them, only to find that they could not believe it. That those words seemed to them to be an idle tale. Now, to be fair, it's understandable that one would not be able to believe that someone who had died could rise again to new life. The disciples were deep in a place of grief and loss. Their friend, the rabbi, a teacher, had been murdered. And now, just a few days later, to be told that he had risen from the dead, that he was alive, it seemed preposterous. But I think they were also experiencing another kind of grief. They were grieving the loss of their safety, their security. They knew that to go outside would be a risk to their lives, having been associated with the one who had been assassinated by the authorities. Everything about their lives and the world in which they live had been turned upside down. They no longer had certainty about how anything would turn out. We know that when there are changes in our lives, tragedies that occur in our lives, it's the loss of expectation of normalcy that we grieve too. So it's understandable that day that those disciples who were the first to receive the good news from those evangelist women received it instead as an idle tale. They could not believe. Now, for us to be able to look back with some perspective, we can pull the lens away from the disciples sheltered in place that day, and we can see how this moment in their lives would transform them and us forever. Remember, it was those same disciples, those bumbling disciples, who even after having been with Jesus for years and heard his teaching, were just a few days ago arguing amongst themselves about who would be the greatest among them. It was those same disciples who were grieving, who had just a couple of days before been so quick to abandon Jesus in his hour of need, even to deny that they knew him. And it would be these same disciples, faithful women and men, who in the days that follow would be the very ones who would proclaim the good news, who would launch a movement of love and compassion and generosity that would change the world forever. And I believe that they would be equipped to do that, not despite the grief that they were going through, but precisely because of it. That there was something that would happen in their lives in this moment of grief and loss, something that would be nurtured and shaped and strengthened in their lives precisely in this moment, that would equip them for the life to which they would be called. I'm reminded of an experience several years ago. I was part of a staff that was interviewing someone who would potentially be a new colleague. And as a part of the search team, we were all impressed that this young adult was coming with a stellar resume and recommendations. The interview went great. And yet, in the time that the search team spent following the interview, it was one of the older and wiser members of the team who suggested, "I'm just not sure this person is cut out for the role that we're hiring for," he said. I'm just afraid they're not equipped for the job. What? I thought this person seems perfect, ideal. Yeah, he said, "I think that's what troubles me. You see, this person has apparently lived, fortunately, a very blessed life. It seems everything has come easy to them. It doesn't appear there have been any real hardships or tragedies through which this person has lived. And I'm just afraid that because of that, they might not bring the kind of experiences and perspectives that are going to be so necessary for the ministry to which we are calling this person." I confess, at the moment, I didn't really get it then. But I have grown to appreciate that lesson in the years that have followed. That lesson has been affirmed for me over and over again in my own life, and I know too in yours. It's true, isn't it? That it's those very experiences of hardship, grief, disappointment in our lives that shape and nurture in us humility, perspective, generosity, gratitude, compassion. And of course, it's easy to see in hindsight. It's easy to see in other people's lives. It's hard to see in our own. It's especially hard to see in the moment, isn't it? And so when the women brought the good news that day, the good news that he had risen, no wonder the disciples who were holed up inside could not receive it. No wonder in that dark moment in their lives, they could not imagine the glimmer of dawn still to come. Instead, they received those words as an idle tale. I get it. I feel that too this year. And perhaps that's where this can be, for all of us, the most authentic Easter yet. That we all find ourselves, for different reasons, to be sure, in each of our lives, that we experience grief and disappointment and loss this year, and yet there is a shared humanity that we are all experiencing it this year on some level. And all of us can understand, like those disciples, why it's so hard to hear words of hope, encouragement, and new life. And yet it's this year that we are invited, like Peter, to get up and to run to the tomb, to stoop and look in and to discover that the tomb is empty. That it is empty. That tomb that holds all of our sin and grief, our brokenness and evil, it's empty. That the tomb cannot hold him and it cannot hold us. Pilate could not kill him. The grave could not hold him. Nothing could stop Easter from happening this year. Nothing could stop the good news from reaching us, from touching us, from transforming us this year. We are invited to run and to discover that the tomb of all of our grief and loss is empty this year. That this year we can stand with the confidence of the children of the living God, and to proclaim in the face of all of the empty tombs before us that Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Amen.